Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We're just moving right on into the year, September. Can you believe it? That's where we're at. God just keeps showing things to us, either through nature, through His Word, through the events that are going on in our world. And He is just making Himself famous and making Himself known. And one way that He makes Himself known is through our relationships with others. And today we're talking about a thing that can be kind of touchy for some women. But today I have my guest with me, Angela Mackey. She is a self-proclaimed stumbling child of God who longs to make much of her Savior. She is a wife and mother of three, and she's currently homeschooling her children and is halfway done with her master's in biblical and theological studies from Knox Theological Seminary. She is also a member of the Mom Initiative, a group of moms on a mission to mentor other moms and bring them to the saving grace in Jesus. Angela also writes for Encouragement Cafe, and she owns and at her own blog, Rethinking My Thinking. Now, so many times we sit here and we think of the word submission and we get kind of scary. Sometimes we cringe. So, Angela, let's jump into this. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Just fine. So, you were surprised by submission. How in the world does that happen?
Oh, lady, yeah. Well, you know how God calls us to submit. I mean, it's in the Bible. It's in both Colossians and Ephesians, and it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And that's not easy. I don't think it's easy for any of us, especially since, you know, Eve took that apple or whatever it was, right, from the fall.
Right.
And we've been wanting to be the leaders, and we have really great ideas, and we're really smart, and so we just want to lead, and half the time we're the one in charge of the house anyway, right? Because he's not there sometimes, and so we're raising the kids, and we're cooking and cleaning and whatever else we're doing, and paying the bills or whatever, and so sometimes when our husbands come in, we feel like he's, you know, taking away our power. Sometimes
exactly.
It feels like, yeah, sometimes it feels like he's stepping on our toes, like, hey, wait a second, I had all this under control, and now you're here. What are you doing? But, you know, God has a design for us to live in community, just like he being three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they live together in perfect harmony. But they do that as the Son submits to the Father and as the Holy Spirit submits to the Father and the Son. Although they're all three one, there's still a submission going on inside the Godhead. And so he's not asking us to do anything that he doesn't already do himself. And the other thing that surprised me is what he does in my life when I'm willing to submit to him, to submit to God, and then in my submission to God, submit to my husband. And he's taught me some three pretty mind-boggling things. The first thing he showed me is that when I submit to my husband, it doesn't really matter if I trust him or not. There's a lot of women who say, I just can't trust my husband. I can't trust him. He's betrayed me. He's hurt me. He's whatever me. And I'm not talking about a man who's beating his wife or a man who's verbally abusive, nor am I talking about a man who is leading somewhere that's completely contrary to God's word. That's
right.
Not the type of man I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about a man who's just making a choice. Maybe he wants to spend more money on something than you think is wise. Maybe he wants to take the family to the Grand Canyon rather than Disney World. That kind of choice. Yes, fun times. So we're talking about this kind of choice. Maybe he wants to, maybe he feels convicted to get everybody, the whole family, off of Facebook for some reason. And you have a strong opinion about that, and you don't agree. And the question is who am I trusting? Am I trusting my husband, or am I willing to trust the Lord? And you see, when God calls us to submit to our husbands, and when we actually submit to them, for one, we are in some ways saying, yes, I'm putting my vote of confidence in you. I'm trusting you in this decision. But mostly what we're saying is, I trust God. Because if God is in control of everything under the sun, if he holds the earth together and he makes everything spin in the universe the way it's supposed to spin so that this little ball, this little planet can sustain human life, if he's doing all of that, then a choice my husband makes that to me looks like a poor choice is not out of his control, right?
Right.
So the question is, who am I trusting? Am I putting my trust in my choices, in what I think is right, or am I thinking that I'm putting my trust in my husband when I submit to him, when in reality what I'm saying is, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God to deal with my husband so that he makes wise choices. And I'm trusting God that even if my husband's choice is not a wise one and he drives us into the ditch, that God's going to use that ditch for good in our life, right? Because Romans 8:28 tells us that God works everything out for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose.
Right.
And so can I trust God even in a decision that looks like my husband may be driving us into the ditch? And ladies, that can look in so many different directions, right? I mean, that can be whether we send our kids to public school, private school, or homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you feel really strongly that we should homeschool and your husband says, no, that's not what we're doing, then who are you trusting when you submit to his decision? Who are you trusting? You're trusting God. You're trusting your husband in some respects, but you're trusting God. Beyond that, you're trusting him. So it doesn't matter if your husband's choices have always been trustworthy or not, but you're really looking and trusting God. So that's the first thing he told me.
And if it ever comes back and he did the wrong choice, you don't go, told you so. That's not
that's
submitting.
Right. That's right. Yeah, we can't. That's not submitting. We can't say, I told you so.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I told you so kind of negates the whole submission thing from the beginning.
Exactly.
The other thing about that, too, though, is, so am I trusting God is the first question. Do I trust God? And do I trust God to do the work through my husband that he's going to do, no matter what decision my husband makes, right? But beyond that, when we submit to our husbands, we're saying, I trust you to be looking at God, right?
I trust
you to be looking at God. But the thing is that when we don't submit, we often get in between our husband and God, and he can't see God between, you know, because we're standing up. We're standing in the way. He just hears us saying, you know, don't spend that much money. Don't go there. No, that's stupid. No, our kids are going to, you know, end up heathens and drug addicts if they go to public school or whatever it is that they're hearing us, and they can't hear the Lord because we're in their way.
I love that.
And so when we stand up against that, now I'm not saying don't tell them what you think, because we're supposed to say what we think. We're often our husband's wisest advisors. So please, wives, stand up and say, you know what, I think it would be best if we, whatever it is. I think it would be better if we didn't spend this much money. We can probably get something, maybe the same thing, but let's spend, you know, X amount instead of Y amount.
Right?
And we can say that, but then we have to trust our husbands to make the wisest choice. And let me tell you, sometimes that's hard. My husband and I had a situation where he wanted to buy an item for himself, and I was not super excited about him buying this item, but I did say, hey, you know, I think that would be fine as long as you don't spend more than a certain amount, and I said whatever that amount was, and he said, okay. And then he goes out and buys the item, and it was 3 times the amount that I had originally suggested we not go over. And at that point, you know, I really wanted to be really mad. I was really mad. I really wanted to say some things that were not going to be helpful. I wanted to jump down his throat and be ugly and all kinds of other nonsense. But God, in his sovereignty, he put his holy hand over my mouth, praise the Lord, and I didn't say one blessed thing. I did not say what I wanted to say because I had already told him my piece. I let him make the decision, and he did what he wanted to do. And, yes, it hurt my feelings, but let me tell you something. Because I did not say a word, God was able to get a hold of my husband in a way he would not have been able to get a hold of him. And my husband came to me very repentant and said, that was wrong, I'm very sorry. But he would not have learned the lesson if I had been standing up for my rights and yelling and screaming and throwing a fit.
Right,
he never would have.
Walls of defense would have went up.
Yes, yes. Mm. But because it wasn't really willingly, but God slapped that holy hand over my mouth, and I didn't say anything. Because I chose not to defend myself like Jesus didn't defend himself before his accusers. Because I chose not to defend myself, God did it for me. And isn't that what he tells us anyway, right? Vengeance is mine. Not that I wanted vengeance on my husband, but if we let God do his business with our husbands by in submission and not being the Holy Spirit for him and not demanding our way, God is going to lead our husbands.
Exactly.
And he's going to lead them in a much better way than we could ever lead them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
two lessons right there. You could stop, but you
didn't want. Right. So who am I trusting? I'm trusting God. If I stand up for myself, I get in the way of God. I get in between my husband and God, and my husband can't see God. He can't get the guidance from God that he needs to get.
Right.
So those are the first two kind of biggies right there that I learned. And it surprised me. It surprised me because I always thought of submission as kind of being a doormat, right?
And that's why most people cringe, and they take a step back when they hear that because they don't understand what true submission is being called for.
Right. And it's not about being a doormat. It's not about going along with every decision your husband makes and say, whatever, honey, that sounds great. God doesn't ask us to turn off our brains in our relationship. He doesn't ask us to do that at all. What he does is he sets up a hierarchy in that, it's in Ephesians where he sets up this hierarchy because he says that God is the head of Christ and Christ is the head of the church, right? Just as man is the head of woman, okay? So if you look at it that way, you've got God at the top. You've got Christ, Jesus, even though he's part of the Godhead, he's, you know, the three people in one. It's very confusing. Sometimes they sound like they're separate people, but they're not. But you've got Christ there. You've got the husband, and then you have the wife. So where is the wife? We're in the most protected place. We're in the most protected place.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to answer for the directions our husband steers us on. We don't have to. Now, if we had an opinion and we keep that opinion to ourselves, we may have to answer for that because then our husband didn't have all the choices spread before him. But if we lovingly share our opinion with him, that's all of our responsibility. But our husbands have a greater responsibility for God. They're the ones who have to stand before God and answer for how he led the family, how he led his wife. And and that means that we're protected. Do you see that? That means that we're protected and cherished. But we so often want to bust out of that role and say, no, 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 no. We have to lead. We have to do this. We have to do that. when God's like, no, that's not what I intended. I intended for you to be protected. I intended for you to in loving submission to your husband, allow him to lead as I lead him. Mm-hmm. And be his support and be his wisdom behind the scenes. But I want you to be protected because you're special, because you are a woman, because you are the mother, because you, some of you mothers are teachers. All of us teach in some way anyway, but some of you mothers are homeschool teachers. To be that teacher, to be that leader of the children, but to be protected because you're under your husband's authority. Isn't that a different way to look at it rather than being
a
doormat?
That is a wonderful, wonderful way to look at it.
So we are protected and cherished when we are willing to submit to our husbands. Crazy. But it's true.
You don't hear that explained to women now in that context. And that would be so freeing if women could grasp that.
It is so freeing. It frees us up from the responsibility of being responsible before God for all the decisions in this household. Because I tell you what, there's a lot of decisions in this household. And if
exactly.
if we are willing to submit those decisions to our husband, that doesn't mean that we don't make decisions. I mean, the Proverbs 31 woman went out and saw a field and she bought it with her own money. She sold things. She bought things. She did things of her own volition, of her own initiative, but all under her husband's authority. Right? So when our husband went, so before, I bet before she bought that field, she probably said, hey, honey, I have this money. I would like to buy the field. This is what I'd like to do about it. And her husband probably said, yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know some of you are going, you just don't know my husband. And you're right. You're right. I don't know your husband. But let me tell you, my husband's not perfect. I mean, I love him to death, and I would not trade him for anybody. But my husband's not perfect either. It is not easy to submit to my husband's choices. It's not easy to let my husband discipline my kids differently than I would. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure most mothers out there have had their husband come down harsher than they would have. And you don't like it. You almost want to defend your kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're stepping out of submission. Right? Then you're stepping out of submission and you're messing up that whole line of authority for your family, for your kids, for everything. And not only that, but let me tell you, your kids, when they see your husband stand up and discipline them in the way he disciplines them, they get a different view of who God is. A healthy view, because God is not only the God of mercy, but God is the God of righteous wrath. And let me tell you something, sometimes our kids don't see that righteous wrath in us, ladies. I don't consider myself soft, but I know compared to my husband, I can sometimes be too soft.
I agree. I'm the same way.
Right. And when my husband steps in and disciplines my kids in that way, they see both. They see that God of righteous anger who does definitely has the right to have a wrathful response to sin. But then they also see the God of mercy, because my husband does come back and my husband does show them mercy and grace as well. But they would miss out on that if every time my husband came down on them harder than I would, if I stepped in and said, no, wait, don't do that.
Right.
It's
now, there is a difference. There, we do need to clarify. There is a difference between abuse and correct discipline.
Yes, right. There is a difference between abuse and correct discipline, definitely. We're not talking about verbal or physical abuse at all. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about how dads just do it differently.
Exactly. There were some choices in our family whenever our sons would do something, and I would like, really, you're going overboard. But in the long run, it probably made a better impact than what I would have ever been able to do.
Right, because you stepped back and allowed your husband to father in a way that's not abusive, but that is firmer and maybe harsher might be another term, I don't know, than you would have done.
Right.
But it affected what it needed to affect in your child's life so that they can be productive members of society, so that they can understand authority, so that they can be willing themselves to submit to the authorities in their lives, because our kids are going to have to submit to authorities in their lives too, not only teachers, not only professors in college, and yes, there's a difference between that submission and the submission between a husband and a wife, but employers too. All kids are going to have to learn how to submit to authority in their lives, and if they don't see it in the home, they're going to have a really hard time living it out in real life. Even my kids now, they struggle sometimes with, you know, well, I think everybody should get to, nobody should have to do something they don't want to do. Right? Nobody should have to do something they don't
want to do. I struggle with that at this age.
Right. And I'm thinking, okay, there's five people in our family. If everybody had to agree on every single decision we made, we'd never make one decision.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, somebody has to be the leader, and we have to defer to the leader's choices, because otherwise we can't get a consensus of five people. If your house has 20 people in it, you may be able to get a clear consensus and you can rule democratically.
Right.
But in a smaller household, you're not going to get a clear majority vote. Very seldom are you, ever.
Right. That's correct.
And even then, even if you go with majority vote, somebody's not going to be happy. Okay, so three of the five of us want to go to, I don't know, Chick-fil-A, and the other two want to go to Hardee's. those two people are going to be upset that we're going to Chick-fil-A, right? We can't make everybody happy all the time.
Exactly.
But the same thing goes with submission. I mean, we can't, in a household of a husband and a wife, there are two people. That's only two votes. There's no way that without allowing somebody to be in leadership position that the house can run smoothly, that we can make choices, that we can go on vacations, that we can do whatever. I mean, there's so many choices. And so that's where submission helps make the family unit, even if it's just a husband and wife, it makes that community, that relationship stronger. It makes it effective. It makes it able to go forward and make choices. And it's not because women are stupid or weak or any of those things. It's because God chose to make woman the most protected. God chose that we would be the most protected. And that's so freeing to think of it that way.
It is. It is so freeing. So go over your three points again that you...
Yes. So one is that when we submit to our husbands, we don't necessarily have to trust him, because we're really trusting God.
Exactly.
We're really trusting God. We're trusting him to work out. We're trusting him to work in our husband's life, so they make wise decisions, our husbands make wise decisions, but we're also trusting God that regardless if our husband makes a wise decision or not, that he's going to use the whatever decision it is for our good, whether it's a wise decision or a bad decision, that God's going to use it for good. We can trust that because we know he promises to work all things out for good, right? Now, again, we'll reiterate this again. We're not talking about an abusive situation. We're not talking about that.
Exactly.
So make sure we got that hit.
Yeah.
point number two is that when we submit to God, we are getting out of God's way so that our husband can deal directly with God. Because when we stand up and argue, his defenses go up. Our husband's defenses go up against us, and God has a much harder time getting to our husband and dealing with him directly. So when we are willing to bow before our Maker and bow before God, that's when our husband has a clear view of who God is, and God can deal with him directly, and we're not a stumbling block.
Exactly.
So that's two. And then three? Oh, goodness. What was three? Oh, three is that we're the most protected. That
right.
Submission is not because we are a doormat, but submission is because we are the most protected and most cherished being that God created, and that frees us to be a wise counselor, a wise advisor for our husbands, but to allow him to lead us.
I love that. Well, Angela, we are getting close to the end of our time together, so let me just let you, I do this a lot, as though you were sitting across from someone and she's really struggling with submitting to her husband. What is something you could real quick give as maybe some words of encouragement, maybe something tangible that she might do?
Well, I think there's a couple things that help me when I am struggling to submit. And the first thing is that in my mind, I think of myself bowing before God. And so that God is like on my left-hand side, and I turn and face God, and my husband is now behind me in my back. And if I'm standing up, although I'm not super tall, I'm in the way. I'm between my God and my husband when I refuse to submit. But when I bow my knee to my God and I submit to him, I'm no longer in the way between God and my husband. And so God can deal directly with him. I'm no longer a stumbling block. So that's one visual in my head. I try to remind myself that way I can get out of his way. And then the other thing I have to ask myself is, do I really trust God? If I really trust God, if I trust him that he has good plans, even if they don't look good, the circumstances don't look good, but I know he's going to work all those things out for good, if I trust God for that, if I trust that God is in control of everything, if I trust that God loves me, if I trust that God, that there's nothing, nowhere that I can go that God can't get a hold of me, if I trust all of that, then I know that I can submit to my husband because I'm submitting more to God than I am to my husband. I may not have a heart for my husband right now. I may be mad at him. He may have hurt me. He may have done all kinds of emotionally hurt me, not physically hurt me.
Right.
He may have done so many things to me that makes me emotionally detached from him. But I can remember that I can submit to my God. And when I start submitting to my God, I suddenly start having a heart for my husband. Mm-hmm. And often my husband starts having a heart for me because I'm no longer getting in his way.
Exactly.
You know, Proverbs tells us that it's better to live on the edge of a roof than with my version, cantankerous wife,
exactly.
Or contentious wife. We don't want to be that contentious wife.
Right.
We don't want to be that. We don't want to be that. And so we need to be willing to submit to God so that we can submit to our husbands.
I love that. Well, Angela, thank you so much for being on the show today. I know that this is one of those topics that is taught and mentored down and passed down that women would be so free if they fully grasp what submission really is about. Now, we only have like a minute left. You are involved with the Mom Initiative, and that
yes.
is reaching out. So real quick, with a minute. Tell us a little
yes.
bit about it.
The Mom Initiative is a group of moms on a mission to mentor other moms. And the idea is that if the hand that rocks the cradle is raising up the next generation, then the church that wins them is going to rule the world. We're going to win the world for Jesus. And so our goal is to get mentoring groups out, not only in churches, but out in the community to maybe help out moms who are in prisons, to maybe go into pregnancy help centers and work with them, start groups there, and just to plant missional mentoring in the hearts and minds of women so that we can get moms to know Jesus and so moms can teach their kids to know Jesus.
I love
so
that.
So you need to check us out. We're at themominitiative.com. We recently had our very first conference in Jacksonville, Florida in end of July, early August. And there's a book called by Stephanie Schott called The Making of a Mom. If you don't know how to run a mom group like that, you need to buy that book. It's a handbook to help start those groups, but it's also great for moms, young moms, any stage of mom, from grandmas, empty nesters, all the way down to brand new first-time moms or even expectant mothers. Pick up that book and check it out.
Love it. Well, Angela, thank you so much for being on the show today. We are out of time, so thank you, and I hope you join us again to give us some more lessons that maybe God has taught you over a summer or even the fall.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. For those of you listening, thank you for being with us. Thank you for joining us and to just make his name famous, make much of Jesus, and go out there. Show your husband what you learned about submission. You'll be happy you did. Till next week. Bye-bye.